Good morning. Well, I wonder how many Christmas sermons you've heard. I wonder how many times you've sat here this year and over the years in different places, how many times you've heard people speak about the Christmas story. And I think it's absolutely amazing the way that the story always presents something new. And the way that that has happened to me over the years is that as my life has changed, I have identified with different people in the story. So I wonder how many times people have said to you, who do you identify with? Perhaps it's Mary, the new mum, or the person scared but willing to face the call of God as he asks you to do something new. Or perhaps it's Elizabeth and Zechariah, which, if you weren't here last week, were wonderfully played by Ian and Val Kinslow. We were allowed to call them the older generation, apparently, but still being given a new vision, a new calling from God, useful to God, part of God's plan. Perhaps, as we've just seen on the DVD, you identify with Joseph, given responsibility from God, asked to obey God in the face of criticism. Perhaps this year you've thought about the shepherds, hard-working folk, keeping plodding on, and then right in the middle of mundane life, there is the supernatural coming in. Perhaps you identify with the Magi. Perhaps you see yourself as quite wise, but actually you find that in the face of wisdom, spiritual wisdom is where we find our heart's desire. Perhaps you've even identified with the innkeeper. I know a certain 3-year-old girl who did this year, as she dressed up with her lantern and her little card, challenged to make room for God, to make room for Jesus in your life. But I wonder if for some of us this Christmas, actually all these stories of hope and positivity haven't quite cut it. And in all honesty, perhaps these mothers of these children killed by Herod are more the pain that some people have felt. I wonder if perhaps it's not hope which some people have found at Christmas, but pain and loneliness and longing. I wonder if perhaps, like these mothers suffered as a result of someone else's selfishness and fear, there is perhaps an element in some of us that finds that sometimes Christmas is tinged with some sadness. Or even if, like Joseph, overwhelmed with the new birth, we still find that we are having to make huge life or death decisions, massive life-changing choices right in the middle of the Christmas story. And the truth of Christmas is that, as we all know, it's not just about the birth of the baby, but that the baby is the incarnation, God becoming man, meeting us in our deepest pain and living right in it with us. And that's why we had that first passage, and then from Isaiah, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their saviour. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. So I ask you again, who do you identify with? In pain and in joy and in hope and in sorrow, I just want to offer to you this morning that the Christmas story promises that in everyday life, God is now with us. So as we look at Emmanuel this morning, at God with us, Emmanuel, I want to offer you that Emmanuel is with us in our pain, Emmanuel is with us in difficult places, and Emmanuel is with us in everyday life. So firstly, I just want to explore this idea of Emmanuel being with us, God being with us, even in our pain. Now, my dad is a fount of wonderful wisdom in my life, as I'm sure he has been to many of you. And he also listens, as I'm sure many of you do, and I'm afraid I don't, to the Pat Marsh show on the radio. And he was listening to Pat Marsh. I believe Pat Marsh rang up an expat who now lives in Spain. And they were talking about Christmas in Spain. And this caught my dad's ear because they were talking about how presents are given at Epiphany on the 6th of January. And so at Christmas, the thing that everyone gets excited about is these wooden nativity scenes, massive crib scenes. And this year, Mum and Dad are now living in my grandparents' house. Now we've sadly lost my grandparents. And one thing that we have inherited is their Spanish, maybe Portuguese, wooden crib scene. And my dad was saying that in Spain this year, they've been bringing in new characters. Well, the scene that my parents have is amazing. There is a water wheel. Didn't really think about them in Bethlehem, but I guess there must have been. There's a horse and cart. There's all sorts of things. But apparently in Spain this year, the new figures, all the range, are the slaughter of the innocents. So in your nativity scene, you can have the murder of lots of little people, which doesn't strike me as particularly festive, and I thought it was a little bit odd. But the more I thought about it, I thought, actually, this is this story. The Magi, the wise men, coming and bringing reverence to Jesus. And in the midst of this kind of peace, and around that, is actual real pain and suffering. That there is the peace and reverence of the worship of the Magi, and outside of that, the horror of the Roman control and occupation that Jesus was born in. And that quote that we heard in the passage, taken from Jeremiah, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted." But the thing that really strikes me as interesting is that even in Jeremiah, the next verses explain that Emmanuel, God with us, is in the middle of this horrific suffering and is bringing in God's rescue plan. The torture and abandonment from God that these women must have been feeling are soon to be eternally put right in the salvation that Jesus has come to offer. Not in a there, dear, it will be okay, but in the midst of pain, in the midst of the most atrocious suffering, God himself, Emmanuel, comes, bringing real healing and real restoration. And if you want to read from Jeremiah 31, the next verse says, "Thus saith the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border." Matthew was explaining that Jesus came to earth right in the middle of our pain, our torture, our injustice, our horror, to put real sin and real darkness to death. His birth marks the beginning of the end. And that made me think of Winston Churchill and his famous speech after the Battle of Alamein. Now, this is not the end. This is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps, and I'm sure you could all finish it, the end of the beginning. Because of the birth of Jesus, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I bring to your mind Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you." God is with us. Emmanuel is with us in our pain. And then secondly, this story spoke to me about Emmanuel, God with us, in difficult places. Physical places, places that we find ourselves in our lives. Joseph is told to take the baby and his mother to Egypt. Those very words, being taken to Egypt, for the Jewish people at the time, and reading the story later, their first thought is going to be Passover. It's going to be the Israelites being taken out of this place of bondage, the place where they'd been slaves and they'd been rescued from, and Jesus is being sent back there. We are being taken back in the story to the place of pain, the place of suffering, the place of hardship, to show that through Jesus, hard and difficult memories are being made new. Jesus is going back to the very physical place where the Israelites needed the blood of the Lamb, remember on the doors, to be rescued. To the place where the Israelites had been in slavery and in terror. But this time, the place of slavery, the place of terror, becomes the place of safety. And I know this is certainly true in my life. I wonder if it's true for you, that God takes us back to memories, to places where there have been pain, to old hurts, old relationships, old bullying, old harm. But this time, as we relive them, as we think about them, as we bring them to God, Jesus is there with us in our place of hardship. This time we are in that difficult place with Jesus. And when the Israelites escaped from Egypt and escaped from their place of slavery last time, when they came back out of Egypt, they were given a new relationship with God. But this relationship was through the law. They had to work really hard for it. They had to bring sacrifices. They had to keep the law. This time, as Jesus comes out of Egypt, we're being brought back into a new relationship with God, not through trying harder, not through the law, but through Jesus, through Emmanuel, God with us. We are made new through a relationship with God that's been bought for us on the cross. We are seeing that the place of difficulty is a different place because we're there with Jesus and because he will work to change it. He will bring his light. He is Emmanuel, the light of the world, in our darkest places. And lastly, this passage really spoke to me about the normality of life. You know, we're about to take stock, aren't we, and sing Auld Lang Syne and start again on the resolutions and rejoin the gym and find all the old library books, in my case, and attempt to return them to the library without too many fees, and to put life right. A big thing that's happened this year, as I take stock for me, is that 5 of my closest friends have had baby girls. Actually, in the last 7 months. So you might know some of them. If you're trying to name them now, Hannah, Cassie, Lella, Christy, and Louise have all had baby girls in the last 7 months. And they well know that bringing a new baby is a massive change, loads of excitement, the routine goes out the window, everything is a new kind of crazy. But then that passes. And suddenly, it brings a new kind of normal. Your friends' conversations change from, I've brought something to the baby and can I cook you dinner and how's it all going, to, did you hear what happened at work? Did you watch EastEnders last night? You change from eating lovely meals that your friends have provided for you and thinking that it's okay to eat a pack of after-eight mincers dinner to recognising that that can't go on for the next 18 years and you have to go back to Sainsbury's. A new kind of normal begins. And this is what we see at the end of today's passage in Matthew. Joseph has to find a new normal. They can't go back to life before, firstly because they've got a baby, but also because this baby still has a price on his head. And so they have to find a new place to settle. And so for them, the new normal is in Nazareth. But it's a new normal. Emmanuel is still with them. So for them, their new normal begins in Nazareth, and I've done a bit of research on this. Nazareth has one of two meanings, both of which are very significant. It either means branch, N-E-S-E-R, Nezer, or it means watch or guard, N-A-S-A-R. And either way, Jesus is in a place of significance. He's going to live his childhood and his adult life here. And he is a new branch from David, a new normal for humanity. His life and death and resurrection bring a new understanding of what life can be. So in the same way that the Israelites have watched life unfold through the line of David, They are now about to watch God's new exodus, God's new salvation plan. As Jesus leaves Egypt and grows up, just like the Israelites had to go through the desert experience, so does Jesus. He's tempted in the desert. But this time, he has the Spirit of God in him, and he doesn't give in. This time, there is a new normal, where sin is not inevitable. Where the normal, everyday things, think of the life of Jesus, of working and eating and illness and poverty and hardship and worship, the normal things are transformed, because Jesus lives a life where these things happen in the kingdom of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we approach New Year and we take stock of normal life, I don't know about you, but we're still finding homes for all our presents. We're still clearing up glitter from the hundreds of different craft activities my children have been given. We're nearly going to take the tree down. We're just about to eat our first real dinner that doesn't either involve turkey or another box of chocolate. We're about to look at the debt and the weight gain and going back to real life. But as we do that, Emmanuel, God, is with us. We find a new normal. We find a way that we are in the same place, but we are different. So I just challenge you today to run to God in the pain, in the dark place, and in normal life, in inverted commas. Let's remember that he is in it with us. That through Jesus' death on the cross, we have a new life, a new normal, a new hope. That Emmanuel, God with us, is a real, everyday reality. We are not on our own. He is here. And so I just leave you with these three thoughts. In the place of pain, I pray that you will find Jesus with you and know the hope of the light at the end of the tunnel, the hope won through the cross. I pray that in the place of difficulty, you will know that when we feel like we've been here before, this time it's different, because he is in it with us. And in the normality of life, I pray that it won't be the same old, because this time we will have his Spirit to change and to make all things new. Amen.